I think what's happening these days is that in the name of the gospel, and sometimes very sincerely, wanting to honor God, wanting to show the love of Christ, but in the name of the gospel, we end up undermining the gospel. And what we do is we pull the rug out from under the very gospel that we want people to embrace. We are not called to be God's editors. We are called to be God's representatives. He's already written the script. You know, we're not his script writers. We're not his speech editors who say, okay, you know, that's really not a good way to say it. Let's say it this way, and then more people will vote for God, will vote for Jesus, you know. And he doesn't need campaign managers. We are to follow him, not to lead in front of him and airbrush his image and be his little PR people and all that. Now, we are to speak the truth in grace. And this is where one of my books is called The Grace and Truth Paradox. And I think it's a very legitimate and very important emphasis to speak God's truth in grace. The gospel is about grace, so let's convey it with grace. But grace is no substitute for truth any more than truth is a substitute for grace. Jesus came full of grace and truth, not 50% one and 50% the other, but 100% both. So what's happening now, and I see this in countless conversations with people, including evangelical leaders, is people backing off and in essence, without saying they're doing this and often without realizing they're doing it, they're redefining the gospel and they're kind of boiling the gospel down and let's get rid of this, let's get rid of that, because we don't want to be offensive. And one of the most offensive things is the idea that salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. Well, okay, but if you remove that element from the gospel that is built into the gospel, which is by definition historically the gospel that the evangel that evangelicals believed, then you have nothing left to offer these people. It's no longer the gospel. If people don't desperately need a salvation that is in Christ alone, through faith alone, by grace alone, then we really have nothing to say to them. We're just reflecting back to them what the world is already saying to them, except we're saying a few more words about Jesus. But you know, that's not the good news. They've already got that everything's okay. You know, that when you die, you won't end up in hell anyway. Does the world need that message? They already are hearing that message, but it's not true because Jesus said it wasn't true. I think what used to be the case was that the great attacks against the Christian faith came from the outside. And you're used to that idea. Attack comes from the outside. And yes, there are discussions, some of them not that serious, some of them serious, within the camp. And sure, we have different perspectives, but there's a basic core that we share. But there's a fundamental difference between attack from the outside and erosion from within. And that is what we're experiencing today, is erosion. It used to be that when people no longer believed the Bible. Bart Ehrman would be a good example of that. You know, not a good example in some ways, but I mean, an accurate example. Somebody who, you know, was raised in the faith and, you know, went to evangelical college and all of that. And then at some point along the way, he loses his faith. He turns away from it, and now he's dedicated his life basically to, you know, objecting to it and undermining it and arguing against it. Well, you know, at least you know where he stands. I mean, at least he says, okay, I am not a believer. Now, if he were still claiming to be an evangelical Christian, then there would be a fundamental hypocrisy in that. But there are many people who still keep the label of evangelical Christian today. And no, they're not as extreme, most of them, as Bart Ehrman, but they are nonetheless, they have departed from historic biblical doctrines, the inspiration and authority of God's word. They do not believe what Jesus said about hell. Now, they would never say they disbelieved Jesus. They would just say, well, that's not what he meant, except the obvious meaning of his words. They then say, yeah, but if you turn to this passage in 2 Corinthians 5, and if you look at it out of context, which they don't say, of course, then you have the idea that all people will be saved. Well, clearly Scripture is teaching that some people will be damned for all eternity. Now, that's tragic. That should break our hearts. And that should motivate us to share the true gospel of Jesus Christ with people, because God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So let's get it out there to people. But instead, what we do is, because we don't like the idea of people going to hell, instead of getting the gospel to them, which is what D.L. Moody and evangelists used to do, now, instead of getting the gospel to people, we solve the problem by changing the actual truth, except God has not given us revisionary powers over his truth. So what we end up doing is basically lying to people. Now, when this happens from within the church, then you have a generation of preachers that are being taught in seminaries that certain things that gospel-believing people always believed are not the case anymore, and then they will teach their people, and then this is the erosion from within, which is far, far more dangerous than the attacks from outside. Paul says to Timothy, pay attention to your life and doctrine. And I think doctrine is the key to this. The word of God, true doctrine versus false doctrine. And to teach true doctrine, you must oppose it. You must compare it to false doctrine. It needs to be taught in churches. It needs to not be a dirty word. It needs to be a very positive word. The word just means teaching. This is the teaching of the truth. And I am very grateful, and one of the really good signs is a young generation of people who are reading Tim Keller and John Piper and others who proclaim the gospel, Louis Giglio, others who believe the scriptures, and even people of somewhat different theological persuasions, but nonetheless share in common a commitment to the scriptures. But one of the things that has struck me is growing up in a non-Christian home, coming to faith in Christ when I was a teenager, was that many of the people I talk with who are redefining what it means to be a Christian and to believe the Bible and to be evangelical and all of that, many of these people grew up in the church, and they have a backlash against certain things in the church they didn't like. And for me, not growing up in the church, but seeing the salvation in Christ alone and seeing my life changed, transformed by the gospel, I have found myself having more vested interest, I think, in not simply criticizing the church. Sure, we can all criticize the church. We all have things we'd like to see be different, but the gospel message was not made up by the church. It was revealed to us by God. And we either believe it or we don't believe it. We either share that truth or we revise and change and alter that truth. And then I think, very honestly, we set ourselves up for the very judgment of God, because again, it is entrusted to us to deliver it faithfully to people. Salvation is by Christ alone, through faith alone, by grace alone, and if we and the scriptures are true that reveal that to us, and there are two eternal destinies, and they're very real. One is heaven and one is hell, and there's one way you get to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Now, if we had made up that message, that would be presumptuous of us, but we didn't. It was revealed to us by God. Salvation in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone. I think those are basic core Protestant beliefs that all existing Protestant churches go back to those, and certainly also sola scriptura, the authority of Scripture alone. The man's word is always subject to God's word, so you don't just kind of wet your finger and put it up and see which way the wind's blowing. you know, and just go with every doctrinal wind that comes along. And I think those are so core, those are so basic, the authority of the scriptures, the centrality of Christ, the gospel-centered life that embraces the substitutionary atonement that Christ gave his life for us, and that there needs to be repentance, there needs to be turning to him, a transformation of the heart and life that only the Holy Spirit of God can do. You know, these things have always been central to what has been called the evangelical faith. And it's only really been in the last 30 years, and especially in the last 10 years, even 5 years, where it's so radically shifting. And the irony is that there are so many people who, again, in the name of the gospel of Jesus, are undercutting the gospel of Jesus, and out of professed love for people are actually doing the single most unloving thing, which is not telling them the truth of what they need and can only be found in Christ. I think if we focus less on using the H word and calling them heretics, but then explaining why we believe that what they are saying is ultimately a heresy in that it contradicts revealed scripture. It's not quite as personal. It's not quite as let's make a list of you know, all the people that don't take our position. And the point is not our position. The point is God's position. What has he revealed to be true? And I believe, and I say this to people, and at our website, which is epm.org, I deal with this quite a bit in a number of different articles, but where to say that evangelicalism can be a big tent, and that's okay, but there comes a point where if you spread the tent any further and it no longer has its foundations in the authority of Scripture, then it becomes meaningless to even call yourself an evangelical Christian, because the word just doesn't mean anything anymore.